Hello and welcome to the Dr. Richard podcast, a show about health, well-being, fitness and humanity. I'm Dr. Richard Marks. Today I'm excited to welcome Arabella Marks.
Hi. Thanks for having me here.
Of course. Arabella's a dental therapist, and as you can tell from her name, it's my sister. So how are you, and what three things make you smile?
So I'm really good today. Thanks for having me again. The three things that make me smile, so first of all, I'm going to have to say family. Obviously, you're sitting in front of me, so it makes it
hard not to say it.
So definitely family. We're a big family, so spending time with you, my other siblings, my dad, and then also my partner and my kids as well. The second thing that makes me smile is, do you know what? I really love going to nice restaurants and getting,
Yeah,
I know the tasting course menus. Like, that's the things that I live for. Yeah. I'm always going on the different websites and looking at the menus and then the food porn being like, I'm going to go to this one next. That tends to be something that really makes me smile. And then probably the last thing is achievements. I've always been someone to set like 5-10 year goals. And then when I know that I've reached those things, that really makes me feel good. It also makes me motivated, and I love staying on that track to get them. So probably my top three.
Yeah. I mean, going back to the restaurants, like, you do tend to manage to book a few Michelin star restaurants.
It's even whenever we go anywhere, I'm like, oh, what's the top restaurant? We're definitely going to go to that one. That is what, like, me and Danny live for, really. That's our special time together.
Yeah, exactly. Even the highest ever Michelin starred restaurant on top of a mountain.
Yeah, we got to go to that one when we went skiing, and I found it's the top altitude one, and with the rating of Michelin star, and it was worth it, wasn't it?
It was worth it.
But the good thing about that one is you got to ski down as well afterwards, so we got lovely meals and then a little bit tipsy Mary from the wine and ski down.
Dangerous. Obviously, how we know each other, we're family, and obviously we have a big family. So with our family of dentists, obviously our grandfather was a dentist, and he came from Portugal and studied here. Then our dad and our uncle. We come from a big family who does a lot together. As we said, we go on holiday, we do everything together. Unless not everyone can always make everything, you know.
Yeah. So I say that we're like third generation dentists, because we've got granddad, then dad and uncle, and then you and I. And then in our family, me and Ricky are Richard, one of eight. So he's number one because he's the eldest, and I'm number three. And out of all the eight, only you and I have done into dentistry. The others are like mainly in insurance now, which is a bit random.
Exactly. Well, they're very mathematical.
Yeah.
Computers and stuff like that. Yeah. Some people call me Ricky because my father is also called Richard.
Yeah.
So, to separate me out.
It's mainly like our family that calls you Ricky. Exactly. No, we don't.
They used to call me that at school, but then it's like when I kind of like got into a more serious profession.
You changed it over to Richard. I always forget that. And then I sometimes say, oh, Ricky. And then someone's like, oh, who are you talking about?
I know. So you're a dental therapist. So for those who don't know what that is, please explain what it is and what you do.
Normally when you say dental therapist, someone will turn around and ask me if I just talk to teeth all day, because that sounds like what the profession is. But actually, it's halfway between a hygienist and a dentist. I find that's the best way to explain it. So I can do everything that the hygienist would do. But additionally to that, then I do fillings, like all fillings, including like composite bonding. I can do whitening. A lot on children, like pediatric dentistry is a big thing for dental therapists. They can extract the their pediatric teeth, and you can do stainless steel crowns on them as well. So you find that that's kind of where you work at a lot. So it's a good profession to be in. It's lots of things to do.
Yeah, absolutely. And what kind of made you want to become one and go down this journey? I mean, obviously, there is a family of dentists.
Well, I had a lot of good role models, didn't I? Well, actually, when I was younger, I always thought I probably might want to go into dentistry, like when I was at school, and did do sort of the education towards that a little bit. And then towards the end, I watched a lot of Ally McBeal and I thought that I wanted to wear a lot of Calvin Klein suits and look really cool, like doing that. So then I went more like down the economics, like math side. And then I had the book, my son, and I had a break. And the first thing I did really in dentistry was nurse for you, do dental nursing for you in the prisons. And after a day of that, I realised that's where I wanted to be. That is the area that I really liked, being patient-fronted. I like the activeness of the workload. And I thought, actually, compared to sitting behind a desk is not really where I wanted to go. So then I redid everything so that I could go down that route and stay in dentistry. But yeah, it's probably as well with having the role models of the family.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And yeah, and just going back to that, basically... our father's company had some contracts like to carry out prison dentistry in the UK. So that's what that happened. We weren't in prison for any other reason.
No, it was really weird because it was the first time that I'd obviously done really any dentistry and it happened to be in a prison and I'd never been into a prison before. So I had like two really nerve-wracking things to do for my first thing that day. But it all worked out really nicely. I actually like really liked doing that role as well.
I think, you know, if you're helping people and you're doing something constructive,
yeah,
and, you know, then that's like part of the rehabilitation of someone, isn't it?
So yeah.
Obviously, your journey to graduation, you know, you had did an Eli first and then kind of took a break, as you said, from education. And then how did you, because it's quite competitive to get into the course, isn't it? It's one of the most oversubscribed courses. So how did you kind of get
past,
into it?
Yeah, definitely. So when I was 18, I got pregnant with Dylan, my eldest, and then I had him when I was 19. So me and Danny, like, he was working anyway, but I decided to take a little time out of education to look after Dylan. And then when I realised that I really liked dentistry and that's where I wanted to be, I had to redo like my A-levels to go and do that. So I had to do like a biology A-level and then also do a dental nursing qualification to help me get in there. So it was like when I said at the beginning about setting those 5-year, 10 years goals, it was I had to think so far forward because the dental nurse was going to take me like 2 years. It was going to take me 2 years to get my A-levels. And then I knew that getting onto my course was going to be difficult. I might not get there for the first time. I went to Queen Mary's University in East London and there were actually only 10 spaces for a dental therapist on there. So it was really, really hard to get into. But thankfully I got in it first time, but it was so much prepping and I didn't really think that it was going to happen at that point. But I was so pleased when I did.
And what was the course like? Was it difficult and, you know, and how many years was it?
It's a 3-year course and it's really good. So they have a dental school there where they have dental students and then the dental therapists, when they start with the second year dental students. So we mould in with the second year dental students and you become like part of their course as well. Mm-hmm. So it was a really good way of meeting completely new people and the 10 of us were like really good friends and then we'd mingle in with the dentists and made really good friends that I'm still friends with now. And it was like, it was 5 days a week. It was quite a lot and I live in Essex. So it was commuting from Essex to London every day, but I used to use the train ride as a way to do my revisions, sit there and revise on the train. I was like, oh, it's a good hour of solid revision you could get done. And then we do like the practical element, but I remember like obviously the first time, like you would, like having to see a patient or do a fill in on a patient for a first time and how worried you are when you start doing that. But I when I look
and
back,
injections.
Oh, the injections, yeah.
We actually had to practice them on
each
other.
Yeah, we were the same. And my clinical partner, she was so scared of needles. And when she came towards me, she was shaking her hand so much that the tutor had to hold her hand. I've never been worried about having anaesthetic before, but at that point I was a little bit. But she was fine. She got through, but she was actually crying while delivering it to me.
There was one guy in our course, because our course was quite big, so there's like 150 dentists per year. And he basically just was so nervous and he unsheathed the thing and he put it into his hand, his own hand, and numbed his own hand.
You have to be careful when you do that, because I think that if you get it, the adrenaline in the finger wrong,
fall off. Good start.
Because you hear about people doing that when they do the back injections, like where they rest your finger on the chin.
Yeah, of course. That's the thing, it's important actually, is to kind of like support it carefully, and you know, I have a steady hand, but some people have, you know, shaking hand. If you ever see one with a shaking hand, run.
I think, like, my clinical partner, who was like that at the time, after the end of uni, she was fine. She wasn't crying while she was giving anaesthetic anymore.
It's like kind of thing. It's something that you get with practice, and then it becomes easier and easier, and then it becomes normal.
Yeah, definitely. You don't even think about it then after that.
What was your university experience like being a mother already? And were you a mature student? And was everybody mature students who were there? Or...
The nature of my course is that you get a range of ages. So we had somebody who was like 30, and then we had somebody who was like 21, and that was kind of the age range between it. And I was in the middle, about 24 when I started. And yet I had the two young kids that they were both at primary school at that point. Eli just started primary school. And I managed to balance a little bit of partying because I liked
a little bit
of partying. I had like friends that lived in halls, and if it was a big night out, like a Christmas one or something, then I might stay around their house. But most of the time it would be running like to get the train back, because I normally would have like to take the kids to football or something as well. So it was a balance, but I still got to have that
university experience.
Yeah, university experience to a certain extent.
Which, you didn't live in the halls?
Or... No. I still commuted up from, my train took me about an hour, and then it was like a 10-minute tube. So it wasn't too bad, as a journey wise. Which actually from one side of London to the other can sometimes take you that long.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. It's good that you still have that university experience, I think. And as you said, like, you're still friends with some of those, and friends for life, like Tesh or etc.
Yeah, you see my friends all
we
the time.
Know them as well. And it's just like me and my friends from university, you know, I have maintained, and some of them even work with me. So let's talk about your own family, Danny and the kids.
Yeah. So actually, me and Danny are coming up to now, we'll be 15 years in next month. So it's been a long time. And then we've got Dylan, who is 13, and Eli, who is 10. So they're both at secondary school now. And Danny, he, as well as me, when I was going through uni, he was going through uni as well. He decided to be a behaviour analyst. So he went and did his degree. And his was like, he worked full time at the same time and then did it. And then he went to University of Kent and had to go and stay down there for like a week or something. But luckily, our brother Macaulay, he started the University of Kent at the same time. So he was in halls. So Danny had to go down like, I think once a term for a week. He used to go and stay on Macaulay's floor. And then, or Macaulay would go, thankfully, he got himself a girlfriend quite quickly. So he managed to go and stay with his girlfriend. And Danny used to just take over his bedroom. So it worked quite well. But he did that. And then after that, he's done now a master's degree in behaviour analysis as well. So we spent, I think, our 20s really in education for most of it.
Well, I think it just shows that, you know, you don't necessarily have to do education straight away. There's always a different pathway where you can, you know, do that later on.
Yeah, definitely. I think both of our roles that we've done were more like the vocational type things that you don't know about when you're at school. And we wouldn't have maybe gone into them straight away without being out in the world and experiencing those sort of activities and stuff like that we did. So Danny's one is definitely he went into social care, and then he was like, oh, this is where I like to be, and this is the sort of angle that I want to take. And he did all of his things to make him go down that angle. So I think both at the same time we were working through the same things. Like, he was doing his MBQs and I was doing my A-levels, and then we were at uni at the same time. And then now we can look back and we say, oh, look how far we've come. Yeah,
exactly.
But at the time you feel like it's going to take so long and you're never going to get there.
Yeah. Well, I think as well, it's like they talk about this a lot, how people, when you're young, you don't really know what you want to do, you know, and it's a lot to ask a school children what they want to do. And then it's like another pathway is to find out later what you want. And you can always do that later education. And yeah, look at what you guys both did. Amazing.
Well, I get to work with you, so that's good, isn't it?
Yes. obviously Danny used to be in the UFC or
cage
a fight
fighter,
trainer?
Cage fighter. Yeah. He used to be a cage fighter. So
and a fight trainer.
And a fight trainer, yeah. He still does it. He still actually does it on a Monday night. He does a mixed martial, like trains mixed martial arts on a Monday. But he used to get like a lot of bruises on his face. I think one
That's why you had to stop it.
Yeah, we went to like a parents' evening and he had like a massive bruise on his eye. And I had to sit down and be like, he was just training and he got punched. He's not been in a street fight, like to the teachers.
exactly. But yeah, no, it's a great story. And he loves Scandinavia and Norway. And you've just recently been.
Yeah, we did. We had a lovely holiday in May. We went hiking, me, Danny and the kids, up to the waterfalls in Geiranger, around the fjords. It was really nice. But he learnt Norwegian for going there, but didn't really speak it very much because everybody in Norway is really good at speaking English. Yeah.
Always the way.
But I think he likes it because he loves like the Vikings.
Yeah. And the history
of the Vikings is literally one of his favorite things. But then also it's so pretty, like it's a completely different landscape than what we have here.
Yeah, it's really incredible. I mean, seeing the videos and everything. And then obviously the boys did the hiking as well, so
yeah. Dylan was fine. Eli struggled a little bit. But if you said you're going to get a hot chocolate at the bottom, it's like the motivation.
Bribery.
Yeah, suddenly gets in there, especially because obviously coming from the dental field, we're not very much like you can have hot chocolates all the time.
Exactly. Got to get there. How do you keep like a work-life balance with having a family and obviously having your career and kind of traveling around to different practices, including, you know, in London? How do you kind of juggle everything?
It like sometimes it is harder. Like this week, actually, Danny's away working. He's gone, I want to say, somewhere in the west of England. I can't remember where he is at the moment. Somewhere in the west. And it's just really planning. Like I didn't get home till like nearly 6:30 yesterday and he wasn't there. So it was like trying to get the dinner ready and then the kids all ready. But it's like planning. That's the main thing, is planning, and we plan our week together. So he says, oh, I've got to be here and here this week, and I'm like, oh, I've got to be here. Like that's who's going to get the kids, who's going to do the dinner. It's very much joint with what we do with that. So sometimes like I work on Saturdays, so then he might sort everything out, like go do the shopping and do the cleaning. So it's fine that when I come home on Saturday, it's like we can have a weekend
kind of working together.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And it's always been that. But then the other really good thing, it's a lot of my family, like our family lives
very helpful,
really close to us, like
my, and we're a close family.
We are. So we've got my mum only down the road, and we've got my brothers and sisters really close that we can just phone up and have that help. And I think that's always been a big thing the whole time. I don't think that I could be where I am now without like the support of like the whole family with that.
Yeah. I remember one time we were coming back on a plane, me and Fredo, and then we called Macaulay, who's number 7 in the family out of 8. Can you come and pick us up? So it's really good having that big family that you can rely on.
Definitely. One time, actually, it was when I was at uni, and we were near the end of finishing, and Eli was meant to have been picked up from school by the childcare place, but for some reason they'd forgotten to pick him up. So they'd called the house phone to say like nobody had picked him up. Macaulay answered, our number 7 one, and he was put in the group chat like, is anybody going to pick up Eli? And I didn't see the message because I was in a lecture. So someone else was like, oh, I can go. I think Fredo was like, oh, I could go get him. And in the end, Mac had to go. Macaulay had to go and get him. But it was like this whole family just ended up going to get him. Someone were going to pick him up. And it was like 2 hours later that I then see this message being like, oh, did somebody
did
get my kid?
Did anyone actually pick him up, or is he still there?
He was fine. He was at home.
I also like to talk a bit about what kind of challenges you face. So what challenges do you think you faced in the journey, you know, your journey, you know, having family and from childhood to get to where you are?
I think it's when I was younger, I wasn't that focused, definitely wasn't very focused. And not having that focus was difficult when I was like late teenager to sort of find out where I wanted to be and how I needed to get there. It was very like, I'll do this and then next week I'll be doing something else. And it did make a difference. And then once I had the kids, that obviously that slowed me down in the way that I was quite young. My friends were actually going off to uni that same year, and I was like, oh, I'm here with my little kids. But they were really good and still like came to see me a lot and stuff. But I think that made everything a little bit more difficult. But in the end, I feel that that actually made the focus different. So it made me change what I wanted to do and made me get that focus that I didn't quite have before. But it has been hard. It has been hard with that sense.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think you can show that you can still get to the destination even if you take a different journey.
I think it is those always having, like, don't think about the 6 months. Like, that's not long enough. Like, you have to think about the 5, 10 years. Like, even now after I've still qualified, I've still got, like, my 5, 10 year plan going all the time. And it's always having those little steps to get to that big step and just thinking the big picture. And that makes a big difference with how you can achieve things.
Yeah, I think that's true. That is true. So tell me about health and wellness and fitness and how you keep your physical and mental health strong. Because we know this job actually can be quite demanding, you know, on your physical and mental health.
Yeah, some days you have really stressful days and you can be doing something and it's not going right. And oh my gosh, the stress you get from that is too much. But I love running. I actually really like fitness. We and some of our brothers and sisters are really into running. We like to run a lot. But actually recently I joined a netball team and I'm really like doing that, the competitive side of that, the team side that you didn't have with running. I really do like that. But then also I think you need that time to shut off. A walk, listening to a podcast or an Audible, like can listen to a Dr. Richard Marx podcast.
Yes, yes, everybody should be listening to them.
That is really nice. That really helps me shut off. But sometimes just sitting and watching Netflix but watching something that is so easy watching.
Yeah, yeah, like, I know. Sometimes you want to watch sometimes you watch like a historical documentary or something, but then other times you just want to watch some mindless television.
Like Brooklyn Nine-Nine, like literally something like... Yeah, reality. Well, sometimes the reality stresses me out, you know, like when we're...
much drama.
Yeah, well, what's the OC in the OC? Mm-hmm. Like the arguments in that stress me out so much I had to turn it off. I was like, there's too much drama.
Yeah, that's why we like comedy as well. Yeah. We like watching comedy things, you know.
I need that shut. I need that shut off. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, what are your career goals for the future?
So currently, I work in quite a few different like settings. I work with you and doing the private dentistry, which I really like doing. I also work in NHS practice where I'm doing a lot of like just NHS feelings and stuff like that. But the thing that I'm probably is my main focus on at the moment is that I'm a lecturer at Essex University for dental hygiene students. And I've been doing that for about a year now. And long term, I plan to like stay in that field. And to do that, I need to do like my teaching qualification, which I'm starting next month. And then I'm hoping then to do my master's like in like periodontology, which is like gum stuff, to then help me with my teaching with that. So that's like my new like 5-year plan at the moment. I always want to stay clinical as well. I don't want to move just into education, but I want to just be more effective at my role while I'm doing that. So I want to learn more so that then when I'm teaching that I've got that knowledge, got that experience to give to the students as well.
Yeah, I think that's really good. Like the most amazing thing is when you've learned so much to pass it on, and it's such a joy and seeing people develop and everything. That's amazing.
Yeah, we've just got some new. Like, it's a new start of the academic year, so we've just got some new students coming in. So I'm really excited to meet them and see what their aspirations are, what they want to do, and see how we can teach them and get them excited about the role and stuff. So it's really good. I really enjoy teaching. I think it's nice.
So what would you say to a younger person who wanted to get into the profession that you're doing? What advice would you give them?
It's focus. You've got to be focused. Like I said, for me, there was only 10 spaces to get into my degree, and there was like 600 applicants and they interviewed 70. So even when I got into the interview, I was like, wow, I've got to the interview. But to prep for that interview, I went above and beyond. I was reading the university website, knowing everything about the university, everything that the course had to offer, everything about like what a dental therapist was, thinking about like how I would fit into that role, so that when I had the interview process and somebody gave me a question, it wasn't just like off the spin. I was able to answer it in depth, like, and showed that knowledge and showed that I really wanted to be there. And I think you've got to be able to do that extra little bit, that bit of focus, and just put yourself above the next person next to you, which you can do, but it just takes
that
it does. It does just take that extra little bit.
Yeah. And I now think if you want something, you know, if you set the goal and you put in the extra effort, then it will take you there.
Yeah. And it worked like with Danny and I, we were both doing the same sort of thing at the same time. So we were both setting like the 10-5-2 goals. Yeah. And like, I've got to do this essay. Like, yep, you do that. Or I've got to do it as well. We'll do this, and then we'll take the kids for a walk or something, and explaining to the kids, oh yeah, unfortunately we're not going to be going anywhere fun this weekend because we've got exams, like, just,
but it will be worth it.
Yeah, it was, and they were really good and really understanding, and now like they're both very quite focused, and I think that they understand
and they learn that from you guys.
I'm terrible. I've already given Dylan like a 10-year plan that he's got to focus on. But he needs to figure that out himself. I'm just like, this could be a really good plan for you.
Well, it's like you said, obviously, you know, you went through that part where you were kind of confused and you didn't know what to do. And what would you say, looking back to your younger self or someone who was confused like that, what advice would you give them, you know?
Do you know what I actually see? I see it now, like when I look back and I see people younger and they're at that point, and then like maybe even see their parents being like, oh, they're not got focus, or they're not going to do very well. And I say, just wait. There is actually no point pushing somebody at when they're not ready, like to focus, to make those decisions. You need to just kind of let them be a bit, grow up. And people mature at different rates, don't they? Like, some people mature really young and have that focus already, but some people might get that in their mid-20s. I'd say if it's past your mid-20s and they're still not very focused, you probably need an intervention.
That's what I think I say, like, life is more like a marathon than a sprint. Yeah. And, you know, sometimes people come quickly out of the with one idea, and then, you know, you can lose course. But in a way, you kind of pace yourself and you'll get there, hopefully.
Yeah. It's funny because in our family, I'd say most everyone is really focused, and from a young age. Like, you obviously were so focused. You were achieving top grades and went to obviously really good university, and you had your plan at right early on and stuck with it. I say, like, me and Amanda were a bit the same. Like, Amanda's like the second one, but after Ricky, and we were a bit the same in the way it took us a little bit longer to get
where we
wanted to go.
And Alfredo kind of took a couple
years. Yeah.
But everyone got there.
Yeah, everyone got there. Everyone got there. Yeah. That was good.
It's amazing. Well, thank you so much for joining me, Arabella, my sister. All of Arabella's details and links are in the show notes. And thank you for listening. If you liked today's show, which I'm sure you did, please rate and review wherever you get your podcast. It was presented by me, Dr. Richard Marks. For more about me, I'm on @Dr_Richard_. Or visit my website, www.drrichardlondon.com. This is a Pod People production. It was recorded at Spirit Land Studios, and the music is by Delhi Music. And we will see you next time.